It's a Sunday. We're almost at 64,000. And if you look at James Van Straten's tweet, what he says is we've just gone through 64,000 on volume that he hasn't seen on a Sunday since the ETF launch. That's, of course, a very, very, very positive sign that we're getting the volume. But that's not the only positive sign. There are a whole lot of other positive signs that tell us that we may actually be entering into the next part of the bull market. Now, just for those of you who need context, when we talk about the next part of the bull market, we're talking about this part of the bull market. We're talking about the fun part of the bull market. We're talking about the aggressive part of the bull market. So that is what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to show you exactly why I think that we may be going for the next leg up. And then I'm going to show you exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to show you exactly what I'm buying for this next leg. There's so much to talk about today. That's why I'm coming to you from a Sunday, on a Sunday from Miami, an emergency show. So guys, let's get going. Let's get going. We don't have time. Look, we also don't have time because I need to get to the F1 today. So you can see I'm ready for the F1 today. Of course, I told my wife that I'm coming here to moderate the debate. And I did moderate the debate. I did. I promise you I did. For those of you who missed it, I think it was actually the biggest Bitcoin debate ever in the history of Bitcoin debates. This is like the biggest debate ever. You can see I was moderating a debate with, let me just show you this. Hold on a second. So I was moderating a debate with Peter Schiff and Nouriel Roubini against Eric Voorhees and Anthony Scaramucci. There's never been such big names on the world stage debating for Bitcoin. So I did think that I debated the biggest Bitcoin debate in history. The Bitcoiners obviously said, I'm sorry, Peter Schiff and Nouriel, you suck. That's the tweet. But there were big points that were actually made. And you know what? I think this statement here summarized everything and probably was like Eric Voorhees' closing statement for the entire debate. And I think it just put everything to bed. And I need you guys to listen to this because it's a good reminder of why we're actually here. So let's go.
30 seconds of his time to you.
Okay. And
we want to hear it. So.
Okay. First of all, a world in which gold was the money again would be a superior world to the status quo. I'll grant that. My primary concern is that the world has money that is derived out of market processes rather than out of coercive centralization of the state. The latter is extremely an un-American and dangerous plague that has existed now since at least 1971 when the dollar became a fiat currency. Anything that moves the world away from centralized control of money to market-based control of money is something that I would be in favor of. Peter, I will praise you if you can get the world to accept gold again as a form of normal money. That would be great. There are some other of us who don't wish to wait around for that. And we actually think a decentralized form of money that you can send in a digital world has value. And back in 2011, 2012, 2013, when we had our first debate, I understand that like the burden of proof was on us. We had to argue that it was a currency or that it was a money. We had to make those statements because no reason for anyone to believe us back then. It was 2024, and this is a $1.2 trillion asset, one of the most liquid assets in the world, one of the top 10 assets in the entire world by market cap. I don't need to keep making the case that Bitcoin is something. The world believes it's something. You can see why if you ever go try to send a transaction internationally with a bank and you do it with Bitcoin on your phone. Anyone who's done those two things will see the value immediately. And I don't have to like defend it much, right? It's just growing and it's an option. There's no Bitcoiner that would force either of you to ever use it. And if you want to stay in the traditional financial system, go down with the Titanic, go for it. Many of us are choosing an alternative.
I'm on the Voorhees life raft, just so you know.
Well, I'm not going down with the ship.
You see, so that was for me, I guess that was like the mic drop moment. That was for me like the pinnacle, the mic drop moment. You know what? They actually did agree on a lot. They agreed that the traditional financial system is absolutely fucked. I mean, you don't have to be smart to actually realize it. Let me actually make some of these tweets a bit bigger. So they agreed that the traditional financial system is actually screwed. And I think another person that actually gets it is Nayib Bukele, because just listen to what he said. Just listen to this. And we will get to altcoins, I promise you.
So who's financing the government? Government is financed by treasury bonds. paper. And who buys the treasury bonds? Mostly the Fed. And how does the Fed buy them? By printing money. But what backing does the Fed have for that money being printed? The treasury bonds themselves. So basically, you finance the government by printing money out of thin air. Someone could ask, well, so if the government can print the limited amounts of money out of thin air, why do they collect taxes?
So you see, so Nayib Bukele actually gets it. I'll tell you who doesn't get it is the actual people that are in charge of this. So this is Biden's economic advisor. His name is Jared Bernstein. And listen, he's probably the only one that doesn't really get it.
Okay? The U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money.
It obviously begs the question, why exactly are we borrowing in a currency that we print ourselves? I'm waiting for someone to stand up and say, why do we borrow our own currency in the first place?
Like you said, they print the dollar. So why does the government even borrow?
Well, some of this stuff gets some of the language that some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money and it definitely lends that money, which mm-hmm. is why mm-hmm. the government definitely prints money and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds, right? Because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. Yeah. So a lot of times, at least to my ear with MMT, the language and the concepts can be kind of unnecessarily confusing, but there is no question that the government prints money and then it uses that money to I don't get it. I don't know what they're talking about. Like, because it's like the government clearly prints money. It does it all the time. And it clearly borrows. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this debt and deficit conversation. So I don't think there's anything confusing there.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is Jared Bernstein. He's Biden's economic advisor. Just giving it to you for the record. Anyway, let's get back to today's business. Let's forget about what happened on the weekend. I'm going today to the Formula One. So remember, don't tell my wife. She thinks I came here for a debate. Actually, this is why I came here. This was me in the pits yesterday. Today, I'm going to try and get back into the pits again. I'll send you guys some photos. I can't wait. You know, I'm a huge F1 fan. Big thank you for Bybit for helping me get into the pits yesterday. All right, let's talk about what's actually happening on the markets now, why I'm actually so bullish now. I mean, I've always been bullish, but I did say there was a correction coming. Now I'm saying LFG, guys, LFG. Let's just LFG. That's basically what I'm saying. So the first thing you got to do is you got to subscribe to our channel. If you're not already subscribed to the channel, what the fuck are you waiting for? Honestly, subscribe to the channel, smash the like button, destroy, obliterate the like button, LFG, fucking go, obliterate the like button, LFG, if you're bullish, smash the like button. If you're bearish, leave, because this is the wrong video for you guys. Let's get into why I'm so busy here, or why I'm so excited, and why did I come to you actually on a Sunday? Why would I take a Sunday just before the race when I could be in the pit lanes? I could be here now meeting all the drivers. Instead, I'm here now in my apartment in Miami, and I'm bringing you crypto love and crypto wisdom. Why? Let me explain to you why. So I've seen some signs that are very important for you guys to see. So as I said to you when we started the show, we're back at 64,000 on Bitcoin, 63,870. We did it on high volume. So this is not one of these low liquidity weekend pumps. Because, you know, I'm the first guy that always says, look, there's two things that you can't trust in life, right? And if you're a guy, you'll know this. And if you're a girl, maybe you've experienced this. There's two things in life you cannot trust. The first thing you cannot trust is a drunk erection, because you never know, it might just fail you. The next thing that you can't trust is you cannot trust a low liquidity, low volume weekend pump. Impossible. You cannot do that, okay? So right now, you can see that we've had a pump at to about 64,000. The good news is, remember I said to you, I'm watching the stochastic RSIs. And when the stochastic RSIs go below 20, that's my signal to actually start buying. Now look where the stochastic RSIs are. The first one is broken below 20. The other one is still breaking below 20, but that's just because it's lagging. At some point, what we will get, you can see this one is starting to turn. It will start going down here, and it will actually start turning on the way up. Now, generally, look what happens when we go below 20 and we start going back up. The stochastic RSI is the thing that tells us that we actually go straight back up, okay? This is that we go straight, that we're going straight back up. Truth is, I'm going to be blunt. I wanted to see the fear and greed a bit lower. I did. I think that we went down to, well, 69 now, but I think we went down to like 43. When was that? So we went down to 43. I mean, I guess that's good enough. It's not where, it's not perfect for me, but it's good enough for me to say we had that correction. You remember, I was here, I was calling for the correction. Everyone said, no, it's up only. Guys, there's a correction coming. I remember I said to you, the behavior is front, the fear, that was nearly the table and the screens and everything. I said to you, there's froth in the market. I said to you, I'm not happy that with the fear and greed index. I said to you that there's too much greed in the market. Everyone was swearing at me. The comments were, how can you say we're going down? Now we went down. Now I said to you, look, I was waiting for two things. I was waiting for fear and greed to reset. I was waiting for the stochastic RSI to reset. They both reset. As Rec Capital says, this is the deeper the retrace, the higher the probability the bottom is just around the corner. The longer the retrace, the higher the probability the bottom is just around the corner. It just so happens this is already the deepest and one of the longest retraces in the cycle. We finally had our correction. You can see that. Now, this correction actually also hit what you call the bull market support band. So these are support bands. Benjamin Kahn talks about them. It's a thing called a bull market support band. And generally, to keep the bull market intact in a bull market, what happens is we challenge the bull market support band. Sometimes we even break underneath them, but we challenge the bull market support band. You see, and we touch the bull market support band. So is this correction over? Well, I don't know if it's over. It feels like it is. Remember, we could go closer to this bull market support band. We could get this fear and greed down, but the idea is not to try and pick a bottom, because the problem, as I say, with picking a bottom, and I always say this, if you try and pick your bottom, then you will get shit on your fingers. So don't try and pick your bottom. Just find a place where you are comfortable, that the market is low enough for you, that the market is low enough for you, and that you think that there is enough value and we're close enough to the bottom. And that's when you start DCAing. That's when you actually start DCAing. So Alex Becker, he says, look, you know, he did say that he is the most famous, most influential, importantest, number one crypto advice man chosen by the divinity. He declares that it is time for the next leg up. Elio says, rest in peace, bears. Rest in peace, the bears. And what we're seeing now is we're also seeing funding rates starting to turn. It means the sentiment is actually starting to turn. Okay, so that's where we are. Med says, we're so fucking back. Maybe you're right. I want to just talk about two types of people that were around in this correction. And we have to talk about this. Sorry, I have to just rearrange the furniture here because, I mean, I'll show you in a second what this place looks like. You won't believe it. Okay, so I want to show you there were two types of people in this correction, and we have to talk about what type were you in the correction. I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise you I'm not going to embarrass you, but I need you to know what type of person you were in the correction, because there were effectively two types of people in the correction. There were either the people that were scared, or there were the people that were accumulating over $3 billion of Bitcoin. So if you were selling, then you were selling to the smart people, right? So someone says, one of the reasons I went long on Bitcoin and proxies at the lows, Bitfinex whales started to aggressively buy when the market started to come down. Now, look, you don't have to tell us in the chat, but just be honest. Someone says, yeah, you got bearish at the lows, you sold your coins to buy back lower. Today, you see the price away from your panic sell. Then the icing on the cake is that Grayscale is done selling and now buying. That's a lot of pain. Also, we're getting the venture capitalists saying, look, the venture capitalists are very, very smart. What they're doing is they're just fucking accumulating. You can see that in Q1 2024, venture capitalists invested $2.5 billion, which is 30% higher than the quarter before. And this was the first rise in both capital invested and deal count in three quarters. So what the VCs did was they said, this is the gap or the dip that we have actually been waiting for. This is what they said. Now, as Alex Kruger says, by the time you think it's safe to buy, it's not safe to buy anymore, and vice versa. When you think it's not safe, it's precisely when it is very, very, very safe. Now, I got this feeling. I was sitting on a plane. Look, April 30th, 11:37 p.m. Let's quickly just go to April 30th over here. Let's go on to the 4 hour. Let's go to April 30th. It's there. You see, that's where it is, here. And I said, I'm starting to feel like this is April 30th, May 1st. It's somewhere around there. I said, look, today I started to feel the panic. I started to feel the crazy, crazy, crazy panic. And I tweeted because I was on a plane. So I couldn't go live. It was impossible to go live. I was on the aeroplane, okay? And I tweeted, I said, today felt like a local bottom. It just feels like a local bottom. I also said, instead of selling, I said, look, I can't go live. What I did was I said, here is my buy list. And I literally said to you guys, in order, here is my buy list. Arweave, Solana, Telegram, Near, Sui, Rune, Gearbox, Phantom, Tuka, and Gami. I literally published this for you. I'll show you exactly where. On the Arweave chart, you can see. Let's go to the Arweave chart. April 30th, I published it right there. And Arweave was at $27. It was at $27. Arweave is at $40 now. I published that on my Twitter and I said to you guys, buy. And the same thing on Near, April 30th, there. There we go. And I said, buy. Near was at $5.80, not $7.20. And I was texting my friends. I was like, listen, guys, buy Arweave, $27. It's a fucking steal. The guy said, thanks. Well, yeah, I hope you did. I said, you're going to double your money in 3 to 4 months. Then I texted another friend. I was on a plane. I was like, listen, dude, buy Arweave. Just buy fucking Arweave. Buy Arweave. Anyway, look, I hope they listened. I don't know. I haven't spoken to them since. But you can see that now, if you did catch the bottom, you would have bought Arweave at $27, which is when I was texting people like a madman, which is when I was writing these fucking buy lists, okay? You would have now been up at $40. And I still believe wholeheartedly that in 3 to 4 months, you will actually end up doubling your money. So at least double your money. So I was screaming this from the top of my lungs. I said, buy Sui. Now there's a Sui wallet, by the way, on the Apple Store. You can actually download a Sui wallet now on the Apple Store. So, I mean, you know, this is amazing. Also, you can see that Sui is now like in a league of their own. What they're doing is they're starting they're testing transactions. And actually, I agree with their founder. I just want to quickly just get, let's see if I can find him. Here we go. So I found him. He said something which, when I read it, I was like, hold on a second, I get this. And he said something like, I have to just try and find this. I just have to find this. He said something like, Solana and Sui are basically in a league of their own. That's what he basically said. He said, like, there's two blockchains for speed. There are Solana and they are Sui. And that's really why I tweeted this list. I mean, guys, you literally, this was at the bottom. I tweeted the list. I said, Arweave, Solana, Telegram, Near, Sui, Rune, Gearbox, Phantom. My list remains. I'm going to show you some other tokens to buy a bit later, but my list remains. All right. So that is what happened. That's the dip. Really, I mean, I'm not going to embarrass you, but you know, tell your wife in her ear nicely tonight whether you were the person that sold into the dip, or whether you were actually part of the Banter fam and you didn't get actually scared out and you were a little bit more experienced, and maybe you are now graduating to become a whale. Maybe you because if you manage to hold through what went on the other day, to be honest, you deserve the success that you're going to get. You deserve whatever success you're going to get, you deserve. Why? Because you managed to hold through one of the crazy, crazy, crazy dips. That's why. And that is what one of the skills that you need to learn. When it feels like, when you feel sick, when you feel like the altcoins are never going to recover, when you think that it's going to be absolutely fucking crazy, that is when you actually start buying. And that is why I said it feels like a bottom. Everyone was fucking panicking. And it was like just before the FOMC meeting. And then it clicked. Then it's like that 1 minute where you click, you go, fuck. The markets are crashing just before FOMC. Everyone's panicking just before FOMC. You know what's going to happen? And then I tweeted it because I was on the plane. Again, fucking plane ride. I said the FOMC will turn the markets. It was a long plane ride. It was like fucking 20 hours to get from Cape Town to Miami. Going via, you have to go to New York or Washington, and you have to go to Miami. Terrible. And I was flying United. Now, One thing I don't understand is why the air hostesses and the cabin crew in United really hate their job so much and hate their customers so much. I don't understand it. That's why I prefer to fly Emirates, because there they love the customers, they look after you. United, you ask them, please, can I get an extra pillow? They're like, we don't have. Okay, lady, go and sit down in your geriatric ward. At one point, I thought maybe she had a dildo in her and it was just shaking. Okay, anyway, we can't talk about that. They're going to ban this YouTube from video. I hate flying United. I will try always to fly Emirates. I'll always try to fly Emirates. Anyway, so I did say that when the FOMC happens, that will actually turn the markets. Now, remember, the genius here was that this was before FOMC. I was like, okay, guys, FOMC going to change the thing. Now, it did exactly what I thought would happen happened. Powell came out dovish. So why did Powell actually come out dovish? Because when he was asked about rate hikes, the first thing he said is no rate hikes. Okay, so that took rate hikes off the table. Number one, big. Number two, listen to the words here. So remember, people were worried that there may be more rate hikes. Powell basically said no rate hikes. Okay, like that's off the table. He said, we feel that the policy is sufficiently restrictive. That if you don't speak Polish, it's like Polish, but it's like Polish. Okay, if you don't speak Polish, then you get, then what he's basically saying is we're not going to increase rates. Okay, number one. Number two, he used language which I don't think many people actually picked up, but he didn't say inflation must hit 2%. He did not say that. Listen to what he said.
We've stated that we do not expect that it will be appropriate to reduce the target range for the federal funds rate until we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably toward 2%.
Moving sustainably towards 2%. He did not say we're only going to cut rates when inflation is at 2%. He said moving sustainably towards 2%. That means inflation could be at 3%. And then he can keep going down. And if he thinks it's going to keep going down, he will cut rates. Basically, what he said is, I'm cutting rates this year. That's basically what he said. He said, I'm cutting rates this year because if you don't speak Polish, okay, it's like Polish, but it's Polish. But if you are Polish here, let us know if you understand what he said. What he said was, he said, look, there's an election this year. And then he basically said, I have to cut the rates before the election because my boss, Elizabeth Warren, told me that I have to cut rates before the election. So I'm going to cut rates when we are moving towards 2%. Then the next thing that actually happened and why everybody got so bullish is the following, right? The one thing was that the jobs numbers weren't coming down. Fucking no matter how much Powell tried to slow the economy, people just kept finding jobs and kept finding jobs and kept finding jobs. And that's been like all the time, okay? Then Friday, we get the jobs numbers. Missed. So it increases by 175,000 and the unemployment rate rises to 3.9%. Now get this, they were expecting 243,000 non-farm jobs. They got 175,000. That's quite a big miss. That's like a terrible, terrible, terrible miss. Very bad miss. Now, as Benjamin Kahn says, it says there's 1.32 job openings per unemployed worker, down from 2.03. So now you can see that the jobs market is actually starting to feel the pinch. Can you see that? And then, so you take that, you say, okay, the Fed has two mandates, right? Inflation and unemployment. Unemployment is getting worse, which is what we've been waiting for. I mean, obviously, I feel bad for the people that don't have jobs. Don't get me wrong. I feel really bad for people that don't have jobs. But I feel better for the fact that Powell's going to start reducing interest rates. Then the jobs. So jobs and inflation, both of them now looking good. So now, all of a sudden, we're starting to get like, okay, there will be one rate cut this year. Now people are starting to put their money on actually one rate cut this year. So that's another reason why things changed. The third reason why things changed is because what Powell said, I think it's, let me just find the time. It's 7:49. He said, look, we're actually going to slow down in taking money out of the economy. This is what he said. Listen.
Both sides of our dual mandate. We will continue to make decisions meeting by meeting. Turning to our balance, the committee decided at today's meeting to slow the pace of decline in our securities holdings.
Slow the pace of taking money out of the economy. Now, so that's another reason why the markets actually went up. Next reason why the markets went up is because even though the Fed has been trying to reduce the amount of money in circulation, money supply is pointing upwards again. In other words, they've been trying to reduce the amount of money in circulation, but the money supply is actually going up again, which means there's more money coming into circulation. And what we know for sure is that the more money in circulation, the more liquidity, the more the prices go up, as Arthur Hayes says, right? He says BitMEX co-founder Arthur Hayes believes Bitcoin may rally towards 70,000 because there's money printing going on, right? And you can see the money printing because, you know, they can say whatever they want, but the M2 money supply, which actually means the money in circulation, is going up now, which means that we all have more money, basically, which means we're all richer. And you can see that we're in the beginning of a global liquidity cycle. So look at how global liquidity cycles work, right? Up, down, up, down. This was COVID over here. Then we went down. Now, where are we going? Whoop, up. And we know that Bitcoin is directly correlated with a thing. So now look, those are all very, very, very bullish. Now, what we are listening out for, we are listening out for something that's going to happen on the 15th of May. On the 15th of May is the inflation numbers. Remember, the last inflation numbers have been very high, or higher than expectations. Now, we have to look if the inflation numbers are going to go up or going to go down. The Cleveland Fed, who in my mind are the best forecasters of inflation, are actually telling us that inflation is about to come down. They said there's going to be a minus 0.08, and they said it's going to go from 3.5 to 3.33. So in the next, now someone says, why is BitBoy talking so much? And I think he woke up with an erection for me this morning. I think he says that all of you guys are bots. I think he said all of you guys are bots. I mean, obviously, we have never, ever, 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 ever got bots onto our channel because we realize that they're going to destroy the algorithm. But anyway, every now and then, Bitcoin wakes up with a jealous erection for us, and that's what happens. I'm surprised he still gets an erection with all the drugs and everything that I've heard. I've heard rumors from his ex. It's just rumors. Anyway, let's carry on. Let's not talk about BitBoy on the stream. I did watch one stream where he did a stream with his girlfriend, like the one that was a mistress and then that became his girlfriend. And it was like watching a series of Beauty and the Beast, basically. And I went on the comments and actually commented like, am I watching Beauty and the Beast or am I watching a crypto show? I don't know. All right, let's carry on. So the good news, inflation coming down, jobs numbers going well, money supply going up, liquidity going up. It's all amazing. That's the good news. The other part of the good news is that the ETFs had a motherfucking inflow day like you've never seen ever before in your lives. Okay. Even, get this. Some idiot even went and bought a whole lot of GBTC, even that they got the highest fucking fees in the market. It's like if I show you like a whole lot of drinks and they're all exactly the same, like they're all made exactly the same. And then you go and buy the most expensive one, then you're like a real idiot, okay? Anyway, we had amazing, amazing, amazing ETF inflows this week, which was absolutely amazing. Even Grayscale had inflows. BlackRock had its largest inflow at the exact Bitcoin top, and it had its first ever outflow at the exact bottom. Now, what is that telling you? I'll tell you what's going right. I'll tell you what's happening here. If you're not seeing the screen well, it's because you're baked. And I'm going to show you how you can get baked, okay? So, and if you're not seeing the screen here well, it's because you're baked. It's because you took a gummy and now you are baked. It's okay. It will wear off. If you struggle, I think just eat some sugar. Maybe just eat like sugar. Maybe drink some Coke. Actually, hold on. Let's just ask Ray knows. Ray, if you're baked and like you're parrying out on the sofa, what do you do? You eat like what? Do you have orange juice or what's the solution?
You might need a different type of gummy or some milk.
Milk, okay, I got it. Anyway, so listen. No, I took him off because I want to keep this YouTube friendly so we don't get banned again in thing. Someone says, is weed legal in South Africa? It is, but I'm not in South Africa, I'm in Miami. Okay, so now, what I wanted to show you here, this is very important. BlackRock had its large inflow at the exact Bitcoin top. And it had its outflow at the bottom. Okay, now listen carefully. That shows us something. What it shows us is exactly what we are seeing over here. No, we're not seeing it over here. Asset manager BlackRock expects the next wave of Bitcoin ETF buyers to include large institutions like sovereign wealth funds and pensions. Because this wave, right now, the sovereign wealth funds and the pensions, which actually have the most money, they haven't started buying it. Who's buying here is the more unsophisticated investor, which is basically dumb retail, the ones that buy the largest inflow at the exact top and sell at the exact bottom, right? The first outflow is the exact bottom. The next wave is what BlackRock is starting to predict now. They're saying, we're going into the next wave, and you can see that that Hunter's from Bitwise, he says, 6 billion plus wealth management firm just let us know they've selected Bitwise ETF after several weeks of diligence. Now, read between the lines here, okay? The big funds are doing weeks of diligence before they decide who to invest in. The small funds and the retail investor can just buy whatever the fuck they want, whenever the fuck they want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So you can see that the next wave is about to hit us. And the next wave, I didn't say it, BlackRock said it. So if you want to sue someone for misinformation, sue BlackRock. They say that the next phase is going to be the sovereign wealth funds. And that's the part that's actually starting to come, okay? So you understand what's going on. I don't have to tell you because you guys are smart. Also, we had Hong Kong. Hong Kong had $300 million of inflows. Like, not bad. I mean, I think it's quite good. I think it's quite good. So you can see Hong Kong, $300 million of inflows, which is good, for such a small economy. It just shows for such a small ETF country. All right, that's the next thing. And then, look, there is this thing about sell in May and go away. And, look, I still believe that summer can be choppy. I've got to be honest. I still believe that summer can be choppy. And I actually even believe that we may even have one more leg down. Like it could happen. But for me, it's good enough and close enough, but good enough, but close enough to actually start buying. Then. Someone said, good news for Bitcoin bulls. Since 2012, Bitcoin has had 100% hit rate in May during election years with an average return of 10.5%. I don't really give a shit. Like about May. I care about what happens in June, July, and August. I'm not here just for May. I'm not leaving the industry in May. Okay, enough about Bitcoin. Enough about macro. Let's talk about altcoins. That's why we're here. Someone says you look tired as fuck. I've been partying here for fucking a week in Miami. Do you know how what it's like partying in Miami for a week with Formula One people? It's hard. Let's talk about these things over here. The ones that look so beautiful are amazing. Look at this. You've got the altcoins pumping. You've got our altcoins pumping. Look at our weave. Now, this could even give Joe Biden an erection. Okay, look at our weave up at $40. You've got the AI coins rallying. I'm going to show you in 1 second why the AI coins are all rallying. You've got to listen very, very, very carefully because there is going to be an AI rally at the moment. But first, I want to just show you that it looks like the altcoins also had their correction. And if you look at the stochastic RSI on the altcoins, I mean, that's it. We hit the bottom, 2.17. How much lower do you want the stochastic RSI to go? I mean, it has gone down before to 0.46. But I mean, it's like it's had its correction. So the altcoins, which is, this is, by the way, I'm looking at total three. The altcoins have also had a motherfucker correction, okay? And you can see everyone's like doing charts, fancy charts about the altcoins, showing how the altcoins have actually recovered. Now, I want to show you something very, very important, right? So if you survive this altcoin correction, like we had a big correction. Look at this correction. Like Injective was down like 65% from its highs. Immutable X was down 60% from its all-time highs. Akash was down 53%. Just look at these numbers. Like Arweave was down 60% from the all-time high. Where were you? Where were you when Arweave went to $18.88? Where were you? Were you panicking? What were you doing? Because you should have been at your computer actually buying. But we've had a good correction. We've had a reset. And now I think the altcoins are actually starting to recover. I think that you just need to look at one indicator, which is a stochastic. The stochastic will tell you that, listen, there's not much more downside left on altcoins. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying there's not much more downside left on the thing. And what we're also seeing when it comes to altcoins is that there are a few sectors which are just not going to die. And one of them is meme coins. So look, the more I spend time in this industry, and I've been around for a long time, the more I realize that the VCs are fucking evil. And they are basically, the game is rigged against you by the VCs. We spoke about this. We did a lot of videos about this. The video got like 100,000 views because people realized that I was actually talking sense. Now, what you can see is that the Solana SPL tokens, which is basically meme coins. This is like how many meme coins are being created, are hitting an all-time high. These degens, they don't really give a shit about the correction. They just carry on with the meme coins. And you know, for me, there's really like two meme coins that I'm like really, 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 really bullish on. Like I'm only really bullish on two meme coins. Obviously, one of them is Gummy. You know that. Because it's become like a community token, and I've never seen such a strong community before. I don't know if you guys saw, but okay, we got to talk about the intern. Okay, we hired this intern. I'm going to actually mention her name because I think it's important that if her mother is listening to this, it's important that her mother hears what's going on with her daughter, right? Our intern takes too many gummies. She smokes a lot of weed. She's always fucking baked. Okay, it's a problem. It's a big problem. And so she leaked the announcement, which wasn't supposed to happen. She leaked the announcement that if you stake your gummy, you're going to get baked, which is the new meme coin. And this is baked. Now you've met baked, okay? So later on this week, it's not happening yet. We're going to launch it, the website called memestaking.com. You're going to stake your gummy. You're going to get baked. You see? So you're going to stake gummy, and then you're going to get baked. And then once we can prove to people that we do have the best community in the entire world, right? This is basically how this works is you stake your gummy. The more gummy you stake and the more time you stake it for, it's only going to be like a month. You get points. The more points you get, the more percentage of the airdrop you get. It's all linear, and you can decide that, right? You can decide how long. You can take the money out whenever you want. Who cares? Once this is done, then I'm going to go to Sui, and I want to show them that we can bring our community to Sui, but only if they give you guys airdrops. And that's what I'm going to show you. So maybe we're launched stoned on Sui. I don't know. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it. Okay. So what you can see is those meme coins are pumping. So Gummy is pumping. The other one that I do want to spend some time on, because I just think that these guys are on fucking fire, is Tooka. Holy shit. First of all, did you see their May the 4th be with you thing? I have to show you this. Okay, if you have to watch this, it's on. Hold on, let's go forward, because otherwise we're going to be all day.
We are making progress, but alas, the true nature of our plans have been discovered. We must expedite the next phase before we lose any more ground.
I appreciate that, sir, but we're moving as fast as we can. And I'm not sure how much more heat we can handle right now.
You mean you're not sure how much more heat you can handle right now, Commander Gensler?
Major Warren, I have sacrificed my good standing to become the most hated man in space. So with all due respect, I kindly ask you to shut the fuck up and suck my wrinkled nutsack.
Silence. You are on thin fucking ice.
Okay, wait, we can't say that on YouTube. Anyway, what you'll see later is you'll see that this guy over here, who's actually the boss, is actually Sam Bankman-Fried. And then he has this plan to take down CZ, who's in jail, and doing push-ups.
Preparing to fight you are, I see.
My dear friend, it's good to see you. How the hell did you get past their anti-holographic system?
So look, go and check it out. You can check out Tooka on YouTube, and you can subscribe. There's a link below to the Tooka YouTube channel. Also, I just want to show you guys something. So the first thing is, I'll show you two things. Then we're going to talk about altcoins, because there is a sector of altcoins that I want to talk about that's actually about to start pumping, and we need to talk about it. So before we get there, let's get two formalities out the way. Number one, if you watch Tooka and you enjoyed, so first of all, subscribe to Tooka on subscribe to Tooka on YouTube. If you watch Tooka content and you like the Tooka content, then just tip the script writers and the animators in Tooka, because we're trying to get them to become Tooka holders, that they want to make more content for us. Okay. Next thing is, if you want the Gummy airdrop, there's five ways to get it. One, sign up to for Sheldon Sniper School. Then actually, it's not Sheldon Sniper School. It's supposed to be Whale School. Sign up for Carl's Whale School. Sign up to Bybit, but you got to sign up to Bybit ASAP and put money into your account, because that airdrop's happening really soon. Sign up to Evo and make a trade. Sign up to Blowfin, or just keep farming those points and banter bubbles. But go and do it quickly, because the airdrop is coming. Don't say I didn't warn you. The airdrop is coming. Lastly, about Tooka, then we're going to talk about tokens, AI tokens, actually. They actually started to implement their flywheel. When I say implement their flywheel, what happened was they implemented the buy and burn mechanism, where they said to the sponsor, look, if you want to sponsor any of our content, then you have to actually burn tokens. And so what the sponsor did was actually they bought and burned tokens. And you can see, you can actually verify that that they're actually starting to burn tokens. So I think that there is actually a meme media station being built where the more you watch, the more they just get burnt. They just, the tokens just get burnt. Anyway, let's talk altcoins because I need to go. I need to go to the F1. It's getting late. There is a sector in altcoins which is about to take off. It's actually already taking off. Now, for those people who are very smart, when you look at the bubbles here, which sector do you see that is beautifully starting to take off? Let's ask the people in the class. Ray, which sector do you see that is beautifully taking off at the moment?
AI.
Let's see if Paolo knows. Paolo, if you look at this, which sector do you see which is about to take off?
AI.
It's AI. Everyone can see it's AI. And I'm going to show you why AI is about to take off, right? We're about to see an AI explosion in the altcoins, okay? Why? Because do you remember the last time that NVIDIA published results? So you can see that the last time NVIDIA published results, everyone thought NVIDIA would never, ever, 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 ever hit their results. Look, they did. Now I want to show you something else. Everyone always says that NVIDIA, I want to just find this article for you. Hold on a second. I have to find this for you. Everyone always doubts that NVIDIA will miss their results, but the data shows that NVIDIA actually never misses their results. Check, look at this. So like you can see like they forecast 421, they got 491. They forecast 303, they got 377. They forecast, NVIDIA always beats its results. Has they ever, okay, here they didn't beat. Here they didn't beat, here they beat. Mainly NVIDIA actually always beat their results. Now we have NVIDIA results on the 22nd of May, I think. I think 22nd of May is the day that it comes. So that's happening. Also, this merger of all these AI tokens is happening. Also, Apple is going to be making an Apple announcement, and Amazon just launched its AI assistant. So there's a lot happening with AI. And the one thing we know about AI is we know that when the real world has AI announcements, then the crypto world responds, right? So that's basically what's happening here. Right. Now. There are a whole lot of AI plays that I want you to think about. So let's quickly go through them. So there's Tau, BitTensor. I actually prefer Based.ai and PepeCoin. I prefer those two to Tau, just so we are clear. AOS, love AOS. Good for the GPU, for the decentralized GPUs. Render, you can already see Render's starting to pick up a whiff that this AI narrative is starting to happen. The graph, Akash is, you can't deny, one of the leaders in the space. Then obviously the three that are merging, but then Near protocol is a good one because that one always does very well. One that people don't know about is ALI, so it's artificial liquid intelligence. It's called Alicia.ai. But that's the list. There is a link below, or there will be a link below. And you can use that link below to just get this trading view list of all the coins that we think might actually run. A lot of them are running. A lot of them are actually green because of this AI narrative that's about to happen. Now, you'll also notice that DOT is on the list. And the reason why DOT is on the list, because DOT 2.0 is actually starting to make moves towards the AI space. So Kyle Shasey says, biggest catalyst for DOT right now, Pocket is at the forefront of integrating blockchain technology with AI, presenting a super innovative approach to handling an escalating demand. So Substrate is actually a very good platform for AI. So DOT, another one that you could actually put on your list and actually holding up very, very, very resiliently when it comes to price. Lark also did a thing. Parachains within Pocket are customized blockchains running concurrently, addressing unique requirements like data privacy, rapid transactions. So for the DOT parachain structure is actually very, very, very conducive to AI. And if AI runs, then I would definitely put DOT on the list. The other one that I put on the list is humans.ai. Now, they are one of our sponsors, but I'm not talking about them because they're a sponsor. But this is really a very safe and very good AI infrastructure. They were the first people to actually do a partnership with a government. They did a partnership with the Romanian government. So these guys are absolutely legit. They also have a token. So remember, look at AI. I think that's actually going to run. Let's just see. I mean, is there anything else? We spoke about Tooker. We spoke about Gummy. You guys know exactly what's happening on Tooker and Gummy. You know that the AI tokens are about to run. You know that the stochastic RSIs are very much now near the bottom. I mean, Warren Buffett, just interestingly, probably worth talking about for a second. So first of all, Berkshire Hathaway had its results. Quite sad. You know, like Warren Buffett had a partner. His name was Charlie Munger. Charlie Munger died at the age of like 97. And you can see that yesterday he was so used to talking to Charlie Munger at the event.
Being unfriendly to the idea of utilities being treated fairly.
He's been doing this with Charlie for so many years. But the one interesting thing about Warren Buffett is Warren Buffett is accumulating cash. His cash pile is $188 billion, which means that he might be looking on the horizon and saying, I want cash because shit's about to collapse. And when shit's about to collapse, I want to be in cash. So we do have to keep an eye on that. I don't want him to ruin the party right now, but he does have $188 billion worth of cash, which is a lot more cash than I've got, that's for sure. And a lot more cash than Raymond's got. Actually, a lot more cash than me and Raymond have got together. If you combine our wealth together, we don't have as much as Warren Buffett. Anyway, listen, guys. First of all, love you guys madly. I'll see you guys again tomorrow. Remember, until then, if you want to qualify for the gummy airdrop, sign up to Whale School, which we'll fix the link for you guys. Sign up to Bybit. Sign up to Blowfin. Sign up to Evo. But with all those, you've got to make a transaction and keep farming on gummy. Keep farming points on Banter Bubbles. Now, remember, all of these are separate airdrops. If you do all five, you get all five airdrops. And remember, we're going to start gummy staking later this week. On Friday, we're starting gummy staking. Then remember, if you do love the Tooker content, click on this link over here. There. Subscribe to his channel. So subscribe to the channel over here. I was already subscribed. So subscribe to the channel. And then if you do like the content, help us make the script writers bag holders, because then they will make more tokens. More shows. They make more shows. We get more sponsorship. We burn more tokens. Ba, 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 ba. We pump bags. So listen, for those of you who took time on your Sunday to be here, love you guys madly. For those of you who are going to watch us later, love you guys as well. For those of you who are at the F1, I'll see you in a few minutes. Until then, trade well, my friends.